service, there was a prophetic word that came through a lady by the name of Betty Price. And this lady I knew pretty much all of my life, at least as an early teen. Very godly lady, and she came to the service as praying about if she was supposed to be part of this core team. And we have core team members that are present in this house today. People that began in 93 before the church doors even opened. And she said, through the message of the Holy Spirit, Capital City Church is going to make it. And if you don't know much about what it's like to plant churches, many, many do not continue after a number of years. And it did continue. And I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. That's a good word. And then it continued and said, but it's going to be hard. And I was like, oh. And I didn't look for that at age 30. I didn't look for that. And then she said, but it's going again to endure. And God is going to keep it small. And I said, Lord, Lord, when I start to preach, the house is going to fill up, was my attitude. And God's going to bring people through for seasons. I said, Lord, I want them to stay till they die. They're going to come through in unique patterns. And the word is going to seed in them, the living word of God is going to accomplish things in them for them to take to other places. And God has fulfilled all of that word. Words matter, don't they? The title of today's message is Utmost Words. I remember a visit, my brother came into Columbia. He often lived very distant, New York, Boston. And here he comes into town with his namesake, which was my father's namesake and my grandfather's namesake, Robert C. Crosby IV. And we were visiting my father's mother, my grandmama, who I called Mommy. And it came time to say goodbye. And then all of a sudden, out of my grandmother's heart, there was an urgency of talking to Robbie. Robbie, again, was number four. Her husband was Robert C. Crosby, Sr. And these three words came with urgency to my nephew. Robbie, love Jesus. We kept walking towards the car. Yes, Grandmama. Robbie, read your Bible. Yes, Grandmama. And then as we were entering in the car, Robbie, listen and obey your mama and your daddy. Yes, Grandma. And I didn't think a whole lot about that departure until we were in the car heading to my mom and dad's house. And my brother said to me, do you understand what just happened? And I said, what? Those were utmost words. Those were last words sown into the heart of her precious grandson. Words that she thought, because she was up in age, she thought, I'll never see Robbie again, but I'm going to depart these words to him that matter most. Lasting words. Words that are to be engraved in our hearts, that we do not allow to just simply go in one ear and out the other, but they're words destined to guide us. You know, we see signs of words being engraved in many different places. And sometimes we see them printed on things so that we do not what? Forget. And this morning, God has seeded some utmost words in my heart for Capital City Church. But as we begin, you know I like illustrations, right? So I'm going to ask Junior Till to come and stand right here for a minute. Because you know I'm going to put you on the spot. And in this bag are utmost words. Now, you could teach me so many things because you have taught me so many things. Like I said, I'm not going to go down that path because I'm going to start to cry. But in here, it's kind of like casting lots, right? When you go and reach in and get hopefully what God's got for you, I want you to reach in. I want you to check out what's in there without looking and pull one of these out. What does that say? On the other side?
Give it to God.
And go.
And go to sleep.
That's right. Let's say that again. Give it to God.
And let's go to sleep.
That's right. Take that. That's a word for you. All right. And then I see here, I'm going to ask if George Cush, can you come? In fact, let's do this. Abby, why don't you come up here for your daddy? Now, what a joy to see Abby back in the house. Abby grew up here at Capital City Church. She is a trained naval. She's an officer now. So, and she has flown jets, landed them on aircraft carriers, and is serving our country in Okinawa. I don't even say that right. But Abby, I want you to reach in here. And don't look.
But I'm going to have you read that. Faith does not make things easy. It makes them possible. Luke 1:37.
Amen. Thank you, Abby, very much. Yeah, if it was all about being easy, we would be some pretty weak people. And I guarantee you, Abby went through training that wasn't about making it easy. I don't think there's anything easy about landing a jet on an aircraft carrier. And then, let's see, as I'm looking around here, Archie, why don't you come up here? And let's see what word is in here for our brother Archie. Archie also grew up at Capital City Church, and his music skills, I told him when he came, I said, Archie, I'm just so sorry the bongos aren't set up, because he played bongos here, and not only that, but other instruments and the bass. He's a phenomenal musician. Archie, reach in.
All right, this one says, with God, all things are possible.
Why don't you point that, let everybody see that. Amen. Whatever the destiny it is that God has for our lives, if we rest on our own ability, we rest on pride. But when we rest in his ability, the sky's the limit, Archie. And so we're very proud of you, and thank you for blessing us over the years and being a friend to my sons. All right. I'm going to get another person to come up here. George. I see another George back there, George Carr. Do you mind coming up? Yeah. Yeah, come on up, George. George was one of the original core group members that left, I would say, the greatest pastor in the city of Columbia, if not the world, to give 3 years of his life to help seed the foundation for Capital City Church. And it will always be appreciated. And I got to tell a quick story about George. He's married to this wonderful lady back here, Betty. But the first time I met George, he was a single man. And we went to his house, Barbara and I. He had us over for dinner. And I'm looking around the house. I said, this thing is decorated with a woman's touch. And I said, George, where are you hiding the woman? And what it was, God's gifted him with the ability to decorate. And Betty, I know you've appreciated that. Probably sometimes you're like, no, George, let me put this on the wall. But it was amazing. You impressed Barb. So here we go.
I want you to know the pastor's the one who married us. God bless him. Teamwork makes the framework.
Actually, that doesn't look like an F, but that's actually a D. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Right.
That's right. Amen. I remember, because I got to do a little bit of pastoral premarital counseling with this couple. And I said, Betty, do you realize that this man lets homeless people sleep in his house? He does. Mm-hmm. Betty, do you realize that it's regardless of the condition of someone? I've even seen this precious. Well, I'll share that story. He had a call to those that life had beaten them up the most. And his hunger and thirst was to nurture through discipleship by inviting people to live and be discipled in his home, and provided them a path that saw deliverance from alcohol and drugs, and then helped them foster a new life that involved working. And he was willing to bring these folks into his home, a special call. And I said, Betty, do you realize what you're getting yourself into? And God knew the team to put together.
Amen.
And that team continued to minister to people that were cast out by society.
Yes.
And brought them into their home and loved them and set an example for them, many times with complaint from folks that were coming in.
Yes.
But they continued to love and to build a bridge. And Betty, you took it to an even higher level. I still remember the day a couple knocked on the doors of this church, both infected with HIV, and they were desperately looking for a path out of addiction. And Betty and George said, our home is your home. Regardless of what disease someone says you have, we believe in God's protection, and they nurtured and provided a path. So, teamwork makes the dream work, and it has. Let's give George a hand. Love you, man. Love you. Love you. All right. We're looking out here. My eyes aren't what they used to be. Let's see here. I want to get Jerry Boatwright. Come on up here. I knew he was going to get. I'm going to pay for this, but come on up. Back in middle school, I met this man, and we had a wonderful journey together. I heard that we probably shouldn't share all the stories because maybe they're overly shared, but God allowed our paths to cross when we were young. I was like seventh grade maybe, and Jerry was a big eighth grader, and he taught me the ropes, and I about hung myself with those ropes. But Jerry and Tina were part of the core group at the very beginning days of Capital City Church. He almost got knocked out helping get this building ready. He was cutting some iron that was awning outside that is no longer there. He kept cutting it with a torch, and it wouldn't fall. He kept cutting it. He said, I don't understand. Why is this not falling? And we're standing under it, which was probably not the best idea. And all of a sudden, his wish came true, and that beam fell in inches away from his head. Hit his shoulder, which could handle it. I don't know about the head, but the shoulder handled it. And faithfulness, him and Tina, throughout this journey, those drums, that's where his ministry has been for many, many years in many places. But, Jerry, I want you to reach in here and see what God's got for you.
You are loved.
Amen. Jerry has a heart to nurture love in others and has shown it in many, many ways. And in endured through so many things. And then we have another one here. Let's see, as I'm looking around real quick. Let's have Billy, my sister, come up here. Come on up, Billy. Billy came very early in the journey of Capital City Church, and she was a student teacher for my mom at Lonnie B. Nelson. And my mom just loved Billy, and she lived outside of Columbia, and she became my sister and is my sister.
He was 11 when I met this squirt.
You know, she used a nice word, squirt. There were a lot of other words that you could have used, but we are in the house of the Lord. So let's see. Reach in there.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. Thank you.
Love you. Love you. Don't, you ain't going yet. The trials of life is such a gift. And it's not just for us, is it? It's for the generations that follow. And she's blessed to have her precious daughter, Adrienne, here today, who is a school teacher that works day in and day out with special needs children. And she has a heart of love modeled from her mom's example in that heritage of faith in God. May it continue in great measure and abound to the generations that will follow. And we love you, Billy. Utmost words that are so important that they're to be engraved. And as we saw these plaques today, these are words that matter, words that are printed on things for people to have in their homes so they do not forget. And those are the powerful gifts that God places in us so that we do not release that which is from the very heart of God. Utmost words, words that matter most. We've seen it with the Ten Commandments, written on tablets of stone so that they would not be forgotten. How miraculous it is that the Word of God has been preserved so that we do not wander without guidance. But the Word of God has been preserved through the blood of the saints so that we would know exactly what is in God's heart. The Word of God is our standard for every other word that comes to us. We judge every other word by the standard of God's Word. And the call to be a pastor is a very, very important call. It's not a call that should puff up and make us prideful. It's not a call that makes us a king. It is not a call that sets us above other people. It is a call of servanthood. It's a call of willingness to say and do what God desires. For a pastor is a shepherd. And as we have had joyous times through our series here at Capital City Church, through the gift of the preaching team, one of my most favorite series that we did was on the 23rd Psalm. And I don't know if you remember, we had different illustrations that we used during that. And one involved the rod and the staff. And one of the things that I remembered about the staff, you know, this is something we've seen for years, where when the sheep begins to drift gently, sometimes with some force, brought back in to who? The shepherd. And the shepherd is not in any way to be a man or a woman of pride, but a servant from God's heart to the hearts of man, the sheep, the flocks of God. Knowing as we journey down the path that is filled with danger and trial, touching the sheep, reminding, I'm here, come along, follow. I love how Ed Nelson said, the shepherd doesn't need to be out front. He doesn't need to be in the back. He needs to be what? In the center where the sheep are. Remembering, I'm here. But the one that stood out to me was the rod. Now you say, Pastor, that doesn't look very authentic. This was used by my son Benjamin when he played T-ball. And after he retired from T-ball, I remembered, hey, this thing could help out if somebody broke in your house. And it's been under my bed. Thankfully, it hadn't been retrieved in the middle of the night, waiting to deal with trouble. The shepherd carries not only the staff, but he carries the rod. And the rod is used for when the enemies are coming to destroy the flock of God. The rod is a weapon against them. It is not something simply utilized. It can be that which can destroy an enemy. But then we studied that not only was the rod used against the enemy, sometimes it was used in a non-lethal way to guard the sheep from going where they shouldn't go. And I still remember that illustration, taking this rod and casting it. And it wasn't meant to harm, it was meant to alert and to warn. So as we enter today, these words that are utmost, my prayer to you, for you and for me, that these words are guided by God, and if they hurt, the intention is not to bring harm. We are in days that demand utmost words. Words that we do not necessarily like, but we know God will tell us what is needed. God will use the rod to get our attention. And surely God will use the rod to destroy the enemies that are coming to take what? Our lives. So please keep that in mind this morning as we look at these utmost words. The first word that God placed strongly in my heart: beware of the lies of men that seek the devastation of our body and soul. We are not in times like it used to be. We have entered now a time that is at the threshold of the coming of Jesus Christ. And the lies of men have intensified in this season of lawlessness, and they have a direction. They have a goal, and that is to devastate not only our soul, but to destroy our body. Proverbs 16:28 reminds us, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Have we ever seen a time in this country where men that lead us could care less about the thoughts in the heart of God? Have we ever lived in a time where the church is utilized as a weapon of manipulation to lead men not to God, but away from God? For pride in this nation has built within the hearts of fallen man haughtiness that says, God, your opinion does not matter. And we are witnessing the crumbling of the structures that we've trusted in. When all along God says, do not trust in the structures of man. Trust in my foundation that is not shifting sand, but is a rock that will endure as my coming nears. John 10:10 tells us this: the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's not a little poem, right? That's the word of God. The thief being Satan, the one that this world is his dominion. We have the consequence of his leadership in our very nature because we were born all dead, spiritually and fallen. And without recognizing that, we continue a lie that was seated in the heart of Adam and Eve. We must recognize the condition that we were born in. For if we do not recognize it, we will never be born again. And if we're going to enter the kingdom of God, we must be born again. And in that, we see the thief steals, kills, and destroys. In these last days, men are so wicked of spirit. Not only do they want to sever your path to God, because the one that they follow is the greatest enemy of God, Satan. He is not content to sit back and just watch you spiritually perish. He wants to change who you are within. Men will rise up and beckon us to embrace things that will bring destruction to our bodies. If we have not learned from our history, may we acknowledge what has happened in the past. For we are in a time where evil is so seated in its authority, it will say things that, quote, are covered to give life. But the under meaning of it all is to rob us of health, to change our minds, to challenge our minds so that we do not think clear, and to watch us slowly die and perish. When Satan looks at you, he sees the image of God. When Satan looks at you, he sees God's code within you. When Satan looks at you, he wants to rewrite who you are, not only spiritually, but biologically. Be warned when man comes to change what God has set to be eternal. Do not accept his lies, because his motive is to steal, to kill, and destroy. But don't forget this part of the verse. I came that they may have life and have it what? Abundantly. Whoa! How do you go from such a scary thing to such a beautiful thing? That's the difference. The thief and the shepherd. Who do we want to serve? The good shepherd, right? Amen. Amen. I am John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's not about taking from us. He's about building abundant life in us. Do not be deadened by the deception of lawlessness that has embraced this world. Beware of the lies of men that seek the devastation of our body and soul. Utmost words, another word God seated deep in my spirit. Guard the filling of your heart, for it will determine the content of your soul. I'm going to read that again. Guard the filling of your heart, for it will determine the content of your soul. You know, somebody right now is in the gym, and they're working out, and what they want definition. They want the six-pack. They want big muscles. They want to look great. And they're working really hard to get that image. They're working really hard so that they can post pictures on Instagram or whatever, so that people will acknowledge them and celebrate them. But what they don't understand, that which they're sold out to get, is temporal. That which they're feeling within their heart and soul is developing that which is of destruction and not life. We see in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. If we do not watch what fills this, not casually, not in a I feel like it way, but in a vigilant way that we hold on regardless of what life brings, for from it flow the springs of life. Now look further here. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Watch out. What would you do right now if God just out of heaven just shouted, watch out? What would you do? Would you be checking your Instagram or looking for a TikTok? Would you? Would you? No. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness. And by the worries of this life, don't let that day catch you, what? Unaware. Like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living on this earth. Now let's step back to verse 34. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing. You know, that word kind of comes out, and we get kind of haughty sometimes in church. I don't carouse. I'm home. I'm doing what I should do. I don't carouse. But what is really meant by that word, carouse? For in our lives, the drunkenness, I don't drink, so I'm good. Alcohol is not my problem, so I'm good. But it goes so much deeper than that. We carouse the flesh. Carousing is moving by a spirit other than the Spirit of God. It's allowing our fallen nature to be that which we're most intimate with. And it will take us to places that we call fine with God. But all along, all it is building in us is a religious spirit. And we think that we're okay. Carousing is letting the enticement of the world steal our attention from God. And steal our attention from that which builds us and makes us strong. And His name is the Holy Spirit. Carousing, more attentiveness to the things on my smartphone than I am to my Heavenly Father. The temperature of my heart has changed, and it doesn't matter because I still go to church. But the carousing is being entertained by the fallen nature rather than by the Spirit of God. And drunkenness is more than intoxication from alcohol. Drunkenness is letting something reach into your heart and change your perspective. Don't drive drunk. Why? Because you may kill somebody. Why? Because your faculties are not there. You're not clear in your decision. But the same is true when we are drunk of the flesh. We are led in directions and we make actions that bring about harm when we think they're okay. You ask someone who has ever been charged with drunk driving, and I've asked this many times, when you got in that car, did you look at it in any way, shape, or form as a problem? He said, no, I thought I could handle it, no problem. It's a lying spirit within. But the same is true for the flesh. I'm okay. I got just enough of God, yet I'm carousing more of my flesh than moving and being led by the Spirit of God. We are not in times where people will endure in the faith if they're nominal in their pursuit of God. We are not there. For these days have been entrusted to you and I to not just live for ourselves, but to live as strong believers in Christ that live led by the Spirit of God to help people see in this time of lies. You can say it's not coming. He's not coming now. You can say it all you want, but the signs are all around us. And the church is here for a reason, not to be without shepherds that carry a rod. There's been probably times in the life of this church where I've said things that you said, I'll never come back. But God kept you here. Because the rod, is in a human hand. So earthly shepherds are fallible. But for some reason, you didn't leave. By mercy and grace, maybe you looked and realized, what was his intention of heart? Was it to do harm? That's not my heart. Will I be stupid? Yes. But may the shepherd that leads the people of God never lose the capacity to use the rod for the sake of the life of the sheep. As much as the staff is a comfort, the rod is a comfort. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Some of us here are just too bound up, and I'm speaking to myself, about all of the worries of this life. I got to get, got to look good. I got to reach all of these goals. When God says, how about reach my goals? How about make my cares your most important cares? Because I guarantee you, Satan will love to distract us with all of the frivolous, temporal things of this earth all along while our heart is drifting further and further in the intoxication of the flesh. See, you know, one of the things that I marveled at as a young man was that the church isn't about one man following God. The church is about all men and women following God with all of their hearts. You don't say, this is far enough, because I got all these other worries. The more you focus in on the intentions of God in your life, the better your life's going to be. Right now, your bank account may look phenomenal, but how is the account of your relationship to God? And do you see the visions that He wants you to see so that you can not only rescue the children that He's entrusted to you, but those divine appointments that He's placed around you? Don't let that day catch you unaware. What does that really mean? Jesus is telling us, when I get ready to come back, it's not going to be a big secret. The signs are going to be there. And the people that are all wrapped up in carousing with the flesh, drunk by the flesh, that fallen nature being out front rather than the new heart that God has given us. They won't see it. It'll be right in front of their eyes, and they what? Won't see it. Is that me? Is that you? Because God doesn't want us not to see what is coming. And it's not just that we survive it, but it's those that God wants us to lead out of it. Don't let that day catch you unaware. The cares of this life will make you very unaware. And then look, don't let that day catch you unaware. Say that like a trap. Say that again, like a trap. You ever had a trap have good intentions for you? Remember as a kid, I did the bird trap with the stick in the box. Boom, caught one. And once I caught it, I'm like, what am I going to do with it? And that bird was panicking. Traps normally have deadly consequences. And that's Satan's trap for us. How do you entice someone to a trap, you put something there that gets their attention. For me, it was bird seed. Put the bird seed under, it was an old gerbil cage at that. So I got to see the fruit of what I did. The bird flying all around the gerbil cage. Why? Because I put something there that attracted him. Same is true with us. Satan will put that which our flesh wants to draw us in. But the consequences, again, are not life, but destruction. And then we see this. For the day will come upon everyone living on the earth. And then we know this. Luke 21, 36. Keep alert. Say that again. At all times, and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. Keep alert. All times, not just on Sunday when I want to do the check in my box, and pray that you might be strong enough. Strength in Christ matters. The nominal heart will not endure these days to escape these coming what? Clear horrors and stand before the Son of Man. You will endure as you trust in the Spirit of God that lives within you. And then this next utmost words. Fear not the suffering, for it will build the righteousness of God within you. I'm going to say that again. Fear not the suffering, for it will build the righteousness of God within you. This morning I was greeted by precious, precious lady, B. B, I still remember B sitting over at one of the tables, and she would share stories with me about how she had loved ones that were going through difficult struggles physically, her sister. And she would day in and day out go and minister to her sister. And we shared stories about the struggle that my mom and my dad went through on their exit. And how difficult it was for me to say, God, faithfulness modeled in phenomenal ways, yet the course of life is ending in horrific ways. Yet God's faithfulness remained with them. And he never, never let us down. But the struggles were there. Struggles that I didn't want for them. But they were there. And the peace of God remained in them with measure, full and mighty and complete. Hard days, yes. Struggles, yes. But they pressed on. Now, B, serving others, very much like my mom, she was hit with a stroke. And she pressed through to come in this house today. Amen. To give honor to this day. But mainly honor to God. And I looked in her eyes, and what I saw in her eyes was the same strength that I saw before that stroke hit her. Because that which is in her is her spirit and her soul that God has upkept and made able to endure through the suffering. And B has not surrendered her trust in God because the road got difficult. Fear not the suffering, for it will build the righteousness of God within you. 1 Peter 1:6, in this you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, don't forget that word, if necessary, you have been grieved. What's that word say again? Grieved by various trials. Who said life would be easy? God didn't. And then, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in what? Praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this matters to me as a pastor. Don't be a phony. Don't be a phony. If you are bent towards hell, then run it full speed. But don't stand before God's people with a fake face that has a heart that is distant from God. Now, I mess up. I make many mistakes. But I detest fakeness in the house of God. For there are dear hearts that come and trust God. In this house is a responsibility. And I've failed. I've been fooled. But you know what? God told me clear. When I arise in heart to gift them with faith, I protect that faith at all costs. And even that which was meant for harm, I will turn about to bring about greatness and goodness. For I will show the ugliness of fake faith so that the heart that has felt the pain of that will detest the fakeness even that much more. And when you hate sin, when you hate being a hypocrite, you love God even more. Let's give him a hand. How genuine does God see our faith? Because he's looking. So that the tested genuineness. And then let me look at this. With genuine faith, may we be found as a result of that faith to be people of praise through the pain. Glory, what does that mean? That while you're here, you're fulfilling the purpose of God. You bring God no greater glory than being what he's destined you to be. So quit unplugging from the gathering of God's people. You matter. Your purpose matters. Give God glory by doing and being what he's created you to be, and give him honor by allowing the genuineness of faith to live out in you. You don't build it. You don't get so good that you can construct it. A yielded heart that invites the Spirit of God to live within. Faith arises in measure that is enduring and is so satisfying, no matter what comes against it. Because there is a day where we will see the revealing of Jesus Christ. And I'm ready. I'm ready. And then, utmost words. Hold fast to love, and you will forever gain strength. Let me say that again. Hold fast to love, and you will forever gain strength. It goes this way. The enemy uses pain to steal love in our hearts. And when we can justify hate, then love is lost. Oh, we still have it for certain ones, but then it's conditional and it's not the love of God in us. So the greatest pain that is stricken and afflicted upon our hearts, its goal is to devastate love. So for those that hurt us the most, God enables us to even love our enemies. It is not fakeness. It is not something that is done for a surface appearance, but it is the evidence of God that lives in us that allows us to have pity for a soul that is encompassed with wickedness and evil. And we rise up, we say, God, you know their destiny, but I will show forth love and leave everything else up into your hands. For vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And God is going to show up. But don't let anything rob you of love. There's hearts right now seated in chairs at home. And they hate. There's no desire to be in the house of God anymore because the house of God has hurt them too much. So love is abandoned. Oh, I still love people. I'm a loving person. But the genuineness of God's love is not there. Let nothing rob love. Hold fast to love and you will forever gain strength. Be watchful. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be watchful. These are Paul's concluding words. Utmost words. And look at what he says. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. And then let's go to the next verse. And then back to 13. Let all, listen closely, that you do be done in love. Is there any excuse? All. Let's go back to 13 real quick. Be watchful. How can we be watchful when everything else has our attention? How can we be watchful when the cares of this life win our attention more than the relationship of life with Christ? It's precious. See, it's not that precious to me, Pastor. Ooh. I'm going to tell you why it's not that precious. Because possibly you're not going to where God wants you to be. It's not about being a do-gooder. It's not about a discipline. I won't do that. I won't do that. It's about an intimate relationship daily in the presence of God through the power of His Word speaking right to what? You. Right to you. And then you begin to say, Lord, I long, as we sang, I want to be in your house, Lord, in your presence. And then life opens up and preciousness pours forth like a river. And you know what? We'll be willing to die for that type of relationship. The enemy fears those that are united in ever-increasing love with their Heavenly Father. Be watchful, stand firm in faith. And then this is for all our men today. Act like men. One of the heartbreaks as a pastor over the years is that men have a tendency to be punks when it comes to faith. Thank God for ladies that have stood up and said, if you're not going to carry the mantle, buddy, I'll carry it. I respect you. I love you. But I'm going to what? I'm going to keep running this walk of faith. But there's a man in the home. There's a man that says, this is my home church. But why do so many men refuse to act like men? For God has destined the man to be the priest of the home. And if he is called to be the priest of the home, how about the family of God? Men, be godly men. Thank God for ladies that hunger and thirst for God, that continue to sanctify their husbands, that are not being what God wants them to be. But men, please be men of God. Your family needs you. This world needs you. And guess what? This church needs you. And can we hear the ladies say, we need you. Oh, that wasn't loud enough. Remember I said love, love, love. I know, okay. And then, utmost words. And this is the last one this morning. Utmost words. Do not forsake the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church, the gathering. And Satan wants to stop the gathering. I said this last week, watching football games with people huddled together, just excited, filled stadiums. That hasn't changed, has it? But many of those that were sitting in those stands have said, y'all better not go to church. I may catch something. And they have relinquished the gathering. And that is in no way to limit the element of wisdom. But I'm telling you this as an utmost word. Unless we are willing to honor the gathering, we will forego the will of God for our lives. If the saints had said in the early days, hey, if we gather, we may die, they continue to what? Gather. You think it's a strange strategy that says, let's stop God's people getting together. Isn't that a strange strategy? It's not, because the enemy knows the gathering is where the people of God come together to unite in the strength of God, to stir each other up in faith, and to encourage one another. He wants to take the church what? Out. And pastor, don't let him. Child of God that is seasoned their life in the presence of God, don't allow man to cause you to neglect and forsake the body of Christ. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. I want some brownies with frosting. And I can want it all I want. But until I get that brownie mix, put it in that bowl and crack those eggs, put in the right amount of oil, of butter, and begin to what? Stir. I ain't going to get no brownies. Stir is a presence. Stir is on sight. It's being together. Now, as we age, sometimes we get to a place where we can't. But when we can, let's redeem that day as we have it available. Stir. How can I stir God's people if I'm not with God's people? How can I encourage God's people if I'm at home in my easy boy or lazy boy? Call. If you can't come, if you're shut in, call. Continue to stir. But the body of Christ, until Jesus comes, will continue to meet in gladness. And the stirring of his body, the body of Christ, will continue. And let's look further. And let us consider how to stir up one another to what? Love and good works. Not neglecting the meeting together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Today, you may have not felt like coming, but you came. And that encouragement not only filled my soul, but filled my wife's soul. All these years of seasons God had you in this place, thank you for risking to come and to give us love and to encourage us. And that is not a one-time event. Every time you walk through those doors is a stirring opportunity to encourage others, to show love to others, to see the work of God within one another be built up. How discouraging it has been through this COVID to come in and see just a handful. It's been a challenge. But just that handful got together and what? Stirred. Stirred. And beautiful things have happened. And then we go further here. But encouraging one another all the more. Not all the less. As you see the day drawing near. What is meant by that? You're going to see it. If you're seeking the wisdom of God, if you're letting the living word of God filter your heart, mind, and spirit and soul every day, God is not going to let you walk around without clarity. We may not know the day, but we can surely know the season. And we see his approach coming right now. We can ignore it all we want and allow the message of the fallen kingdom of hell form our outlook. But we must be cautious and careful. And I'm going to stop pretty soon, but I am going to say this. And this may offend some, and that's not my heart. We live in a time where the messages that reach our heart and our mind are controlled by fallen man. I heard there was a line item in one of the big bills, spending bills, that was going to pass. And you know what was in there? It guaranteed $50,000 annual salary to certain media people. So if all hell breaks loose in the economy, if this bill passes, it will be our tax dollars paying journalists from the hand of the government. Now, if you're numb and you don't see this, there is a narrative that evil man wants us to have. And if we sit at the feet of the wrong communicators, if we sit at the feet of influencers that are seeking to deceive us, we will walk around not with truth in us. We will walk around with lies within us. Church must be guarded about who is presenting knowledge to them. And that is why we need shepherds after God's own heart. If you sit at the feet of media, be guarded, for on both sides there's manipulation. But by God's grace, he has placed within you the living Spirit of God to break through it. But if you continue to draw of bitter water, bitter will be your journey. Man, I never liked being political as a preacher. Hate it. Get your hands off of God's sheep. Get your evil, destructive desires out of God's people. And know truth will be the hallmark of the people of God. And because that is the word of God, this truth will set us free. We're in different days, church. We're in different days. Acknowledge it or ignore it. That is your choice. And then let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting the meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let nothing rob you of the fellowship and the family of God, for it matters. In conclusion today, I'm just going to read through those utmost words. Beware of the lies of men that seek the devastation of our body and soul. Guard the filling of your heart, for it will determine the content of your soul. Fear not the suffering, for it will build the righteousness of God within you. Hold fast to love, and you will forever gain strength. Do not forsake the body of Christ. Can we bow for a moment in prayer? And before the worship team comes up, we have a very important aspect of the service today. Father, you never lie to us. Never, never. Oh, good shepherd, your intentions are nothing more than life-giving to us. So we say, may we always follow the good shepherd that is leading us down paths of abundant life. And we celebrate, Lord, though distance may be in our future path, we know eternity will always bring us together. There will not be ending to that. So bless, as only you can, this precious body of Christ. Thank you for the many, many hearts, Lord, that have fashioned this fellowship through their years of service and dedication. Lord, for seasons of your call, thank you for these precious hearts. And we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.